Obsessed with perfection. Maybe this principle means more to me than most because of the way I grew up. From birth to age 7, I lived every boy's dream. My parents, Mike and Joanne, and my two older sisters, Pam and Michelle, and I lived on a few acres in the sticks of Spring Hill, Kansas. Growing up, Spring Hill had a population of 2,500 people. That's counting pregnant women twice. My daily routine was to hop on my bicycle and ride wherever the wind took me. Nirvana, utopia, wonderful, ignorant. The reality of the situation was that my dad was a drunk. His morning routine was coffee and a screwdriver, vodka and orange juice. When he wasn't drinking, he was the nicest guy on the planet. He never met a stranger. But those times when he wasn't drinking were few and far between. As a kid, I thought that every dad took 2-hour naps on the baseball bleachers during a tournament. I thought it was normal for other kids' parents to take you home because dad was passed out at the school recital. That's why it shocked me when, at age 7, my mom informed me that she was divorcing my dad. I was devastated. Again, I was ignorant. I'll never forget sitting in Mrs. Will's first grade classroom at Spring Hill Elementary the day it finally hit home to me that my parents were calling it quits. To every other kid there, it was a normal day of fun, learning, and recess. To me, my world had just ended. I sat at my desk and tried to hold back the tears. They started coming like a hurricane. But I was the fastest kid in the grade. I had to keep my reputation. I couldn't show emotion. So I held it on as long as I could, about 4.2 seconds. And then it all came out. I'm talking the ugly cry, snot, hyperventilation, tears, repeat. I tried to hide it in by opening up the top of my old school desk and sticking my head in where my crayons were stored, but I wasn't fooling anyone, especially Mrs. Wills. She took me by the hand and walked me to the hallway, knelt down, and embraced me as if it were an airport reunion. Her shoulder was my refuge. When I came up for air, she asked me what was wrong. Once I caught my breath, I remember telling her these words. My parents are getting a divorce, and it's my fault. I knew it was my fault. I wasn't a good enough son. I was a failure as a brother. I made an error at my recent baseball game. I didn't do well enough on my spelling test. And so it began. I blamed myself. So, in order to fix that which was broken, I needed to do better. Better grades. Better performance, better results, more championships, more trophies. As a kid, I was driven, obsessed with perfection. Win or die trying. When I got older and realized the truth behind my parents' divide, I already had pre-programmed mental state of win or die trying. And to make matters worse, my dad, who now lived only 20 minutes away and whom I visited every other weekend, would come to every game with a video camera in one hand and a hidden flask in the other. The game would always begin with nice words from the bleachers, but then, as the innings progressed, so did the liquid. If I hit a single, he would shout, "Should have been a double." If I got 4 hits out of 5 times at the plate, I was scolded for the 1 strikeout. Or in football, if I threw 3 touchdowns but 1 interception, you guessed it. Focus on the interception. Repeat this cycle and just insert a sport or academics of your choice. Magnify it when induced by alcohol. So once you understand that warped view of success as my backdrop, you can see why this July 28th moment from My Utmost for His Highest came as such a welcomed friend. What we call the process, God calls the end, gave me permission to try and to fail. If the goal wasn't always what I produced, but rather character in my heart and the discipline in the process, I'd have to set so many unrealistic expectations on myself. Consequently, I realized that my Heavenly Father loved me unconditionally, with no prerequisite of an ability to produce. Maybe you are the person stuck on the hamster wheel of production for affection. In your mind, you believe that unless you produce for God, you won't receive love from God. In doing so, you're suffering from what I call the eclipse syndrome, when your work for God overshadows your relationship with God. You've become a Martha instead of a Mary. See Luke 10:38-42. You have become a slave held in bondage to results. But a better way whispers your name. Others have answered the call. Will you?